Time for a quick break. Now take a deep breath in, out. You need air to survive, but have you ever really thought about what's in it? This week, we're really taking our science out of the box, actually, out of the building.
Okay, I'm sitting out on the rooftop deck of NPR now, and joining me to talk about what's all around us is Gabrielle Walker. She's the author of An Ocean of Air. Gabrielle, where are you?
I'm sitting in a rather nice green park in the middle of London.
What do you see all around you?
Well, before I started writing this book, I'd look around me and I'd say, well, I'm in a park, I see animals and people and some plants and trees. But after writing it, much to my surprise, what I see around me everywhere is the influence of air. I used to think that air was just about breathing. But in fact, all these animals and people, there would be no life on Earth bigger than a pinhead if it weren't for the nature of air. I'm also looking up and seeing lots of clouds and hoping it's not going to rain on me.
It's kind of a sad hope in London. Gabrielle Walker, even the title of your book, An Ocean of Air, it sort of evokes the fact that it's not nothing that's all around us here in the world. It's something.
I think that's actually why I wanted to write this book in the first place, because I was reading about a wonderful scientist who's a disciple of the great Galileo, and he's the person who first figured out how heavy air is. And I knew that air was all around, and, you know, we often don't notice it and so on, but I hadn't realised just how heavy it is. If you think about the Carnegie Hall, and you just empty it of all the people and everything, and you just leave air in it, you kind of think to yourself, how heavy might that air be? And it's amazing. It turns out to be 70,000 pounds. Now, would you guess
that? Wow.
And so what Torricelli did, when he weighed the air and he figured out how heavy it was, he wrote this wonderfully romantic thing. He wasn't really that romantic a writer. He was a bit of a scientist in the way that he wrote. But he wrote a letter to a friend. He said, "We live submersed at the bottom of an ocean of air." You know, and I'd spent my life thinking I was walking around on the surface of a planet. I didn't know I was at the bottom of an ocean. I felt like, you know, I'd suddenly discovered I was a lobster and I was looking up and all those things were going on ahead of me and I didn't above me and I didn't even know.
That's interesting because here, you know, we've just had a helicopter go over here. And, you know, once in a while you do look up and you think the helicopter is actually moving through something. I mean, there's something that's holding it up in much the same way that a fish swims through the ocean.
Right. And so it actually turns out to be a really good analogy. It has different layers. It has currents, what we call the wind, but we're just like currents under the ocean. And it really has substance. That's why things can fly in it. But, you know, the other thing that I really loved when I was investigating about the air is that the bottommost part of it, the bit that we live in and breathe in and that brings us all our weather, that's the really thick part. And that's the part that transforms the earth. That's the part that gives us all these dogs and animals and plants and everything that I'm seeing around me right now in this park. But there's other parts to it too. If you go higher up, you have layers that don't transform. They're the layers that protect. And I'd always thought that air was really fragile. You know, when the astronauts first went up into space and they saw this thin blue line and they said, oh, it's so beautiful, oh, it's so fragile. But in fact, it's incredibly strong. And there's three layers, the ozone layer, the ionosphere, it's called, and the magnetosphere. When you put them together, they protect us from the most hostile, extraordinary attacks from space. And they're so good at it that we don't even notice.
Right now we're hearing sirens go by here in Washington, and you know, that happens all the time here as a motorcade passes by to take a different dignitary every 10 minutes. But the siren is actually, I mean, the sound is moving through something again. I mean, sound doesn't travel in a vacuum, for example. So it's actually using the air to travel through. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. It's another of the precious things that air brings us. If there were no air, and assuming you could still breathe and survive, a cannon could go off next to you and you wouldn't hear a thing. The air actually has to take the sound and transfer it, otherwise you wouldn't hear it. And you wouldn't even feel it. You know, if an explosion goes off, you get thrown off your feet. And the reason is that the explosion hits the air, which hits other parts of air, which hits you and knocks you. And, you know, if you think about that and you think about the way a strong wind can take the roof off a house, it's really powerful stuff.
And not only do we have that special relationship here at NPR with sound, but also with radio. And how does air affect that?
radio waves don't actually need air to move through, but there is something special that one of the protective layers does, and that's up in the ionosphere. That's the place where you see the northern and southern lights, the aurora borealis, and that's also the place where you see meteors, shooting stars, and they shoot in and they deposit their layers of iron and metal, and you've got this kind of layer of metal almost like a shiny mirror up in the sky. And it's also incredibly electric. You have these fantastic huge currents of electricity that crackle their way around it, and strange glowing blobs of electricity. And that's the layer that radio waves bounce off. So even before we ever had satellites, that's how radio waves could bounce up into the sky and back over the horizon. That's how radio waves made it from the Titanic as it was sinking to the ship that was over the horizon that came steaming along to save the survivors.
Gabriel Walker, you've given us a new appreciation of air. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Gabriel Walker is the author of An Ocean of Air. She joined us from a park in London while we sat here on the roof deck of NPR in Washington, D.C.